So this morning, as we start to look at the things that God expects of us, we need to realize that in our life, if we want to truly be children of God, then we need to demonstrate that in the way that we live. And when I think about the things that God has promised us, you know, we talked about in class this morning, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You know, there's not any better promise than that. And yet we've got to realize that if we want to take part in that, we've got to do our part in that. And that starts off with the way that we walk in our lives. So I want to look a little bit today at the walk. I want to look a little bit today at what it means to be children of God. So let's start off in, like I say, in 1 John, the first chapter, starting in verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, when we think about the life that God has prepared for us, when we think about what God did from before creation, remember Jesus tells us that I was before creation. Jesus was there and He was a part of all this, and Jesus knew what was to take place. And what we see in God's Word is He tells us that evil exists in darkness. You know, I remember as a child, as a teenager, as a young man, I remember hearing that, look at those things that God frowns upon and how many of them take place in the darkness. And when we look at, you know, several decades ago, generation or two ago, that was certainly the truth. A lot of those things that our parents told us to stay away from were things that went on after dark. Maybe not so much that today. Maybe it's now so much more in the open. But we've got to understand that we've got to avoid the darkness. But remember what He says in verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, as He, Jesus, is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And we need to remember that fellowship that we have is amongst us as Christians, but it's also fellowship with Jesus. We get to walk with Him and be a part of Him. You know, I think about what people of the world look at and think about when they hear about Jesus. And I remember, certainly as a wee child, one of the first verses that I learned was John 3:16, right? I mean, that was like one of my first memory verses. And there's a lot of hope in John 3:16. But I want to read the verses, I want to read 16, we'll start with John 3:16, but I want to read some after that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's the promise, right? God tells us, if you believe in Jesus, you'll have eternal life. But then He goes on, for God, in verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Sounds like John. Sounds like the letter of John. In that first letter of John, right? If we walk in the light as He is in the light. Well, Jesus was saying that same thing. You know where John got it from, right? As he listened to Jesus, he heard the things that he had to say and he remembered that. God so loved the world, and I don't want to minimize that at all, because we recognize God's love for the world was so great, so strong, that He sent His only Son and allowed Him to die that miserable, terrible, painful death on a cross, as He gave His life as a sacrifice for us. But then He talks again about that darkness versus the light. Those who hate Him, those who don't recognize Him, they seek the darkness. But those who love God and those who love His Son, they seek to be in the light. He says there in verse 21, listen to this word, but he who practices the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. We've got to practice. We've got to do. It's not enough to say I believe, but I need to let that belief lead me to action. I need to let that faith be demonstrated in the way that I live. One of the passages that I love, and yet it brings some frustration to me, in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8 says, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. What does that mean to us? We're saved by the grace of God. It's not anything that I do that brings me to salvation other than accepting Jesus. Because of God's love, He gives us that opportunity. So we read Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. But then look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you hear that word? We've got to walk in what? In the good works that God created us for. We can't allow ourselves to become so comfortable that we cease to do the things that God expects us to do. Right? God's desire has always been from before the beginning, from creation, as He created everything around us, right? As we look at Genesis and He talks about creation, and then He got down to that final day of creation and He created man. And how did He create us? He created us in His image, to be like Him. You know what? I think that makes us special. I think that means God had a special plan and a special love for us as part of His creation. He wanted us to be in a loving relationship with Him from the beginning. And the way that we do that is to do the things that He asked us to do. It's not enough to just say, I believe. It's got to lead us into action. You know, I think about my younger years as a as a young Christian and having some of those discussions with people about what God thinks of us. And I think about those discussions about, oh, you folks of the Church of Christ, you're the ones that think you're going to be saved by your works. And I struggled with that in my own mind. Because here he tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, that we're saved by grace through faith and not of things, not of works of my own, so that I can't boast. But I'm saved by that grace from Jesus, that grace from God. But James, you know, you gotta love James and his writing, because James is just blunt. He's just straightforward. He doesn't leave it for you to wonder what he's trying to say. Sometimes Paul, in my mind, when I read some of Paul's stuff, it's like, okay, wait, what did he say? Let me go read it again and read it again. And Paul's not always that clear. But James, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He tells us how things are. So when James talks about works, we know what's expected. Let's look in James, the second chapter, starting in verse 17, and in particular, pay attention to verse 19. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, and you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. In my mind, when I read what James says, the brother of Jesus, right? When I read about what James says, it doesn't leave any room for thinking that works is not a part of salvation. Now, I want to be careful when I say that. I cannot work myself into heaven, right? There's not a list, and I got to check the box as I do each of these things. That's not what it's about. It's about that obedience to God the Father. It's about that desire that we need to have within us to please Him. It's about that desire that I need to have to walk in the light, to move towards Him. Because when we look at Scripture, we think about John 3:16, we think about 1 John, the first chapter, he talks about two places to be. And one is in the darkness, and one is in the light. And we think about what's in the darkness, it's that evil, it's those that hate Him. It's those that won't recognize Him. But those people that are in the light, they love the truth. They practice the truth. And what do we do when we practice the truth? What do you do? So, some of y'all played sports in school. Some of you may still play sports. My only sport is playing fishing. But when we practice those things, what do? We improve. We get better. It makes us more of what we're trying to be. When we practice the truth, when we walk in the light, when we demonstrate our faith as Abraham did when he offered up Isaac, It draws us closer to God. It makes us more of what He wants us to be. So, when James talks about this and he talks about works, remember I told you to pay attention to verse 19. So he's talked about works, and I'll show you my faith by my works in verse 18. You believe that God is one, and you do well. But then look at what he says. The demons also believe, and they shudder. When I see that in James, it says belief by itself. Belief that there is a God, and belief that there is a Jesus, the Son of God. Belief that they exist is not enough, because the demons even do that. But what's the difference between the demon and the follower of God? The lover of Christ? It's in the things that I do. It's in the way that I demonstrate my faith. In verse 22, you see that faith was working, talking about Abraham, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Faith was completed. Faith was fulfilled in the things that Abraham did. We've got to be willing to do. We've got to be willing to be obedient. We go back to 1 John, this time the second chapter. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Do you see a theme? It's about the walk. It's about the way that we live our lives. It's about the things that we do. Now, got to remember, I can't work myself there. I can't check the boxes. And if I get all of the boxes checked, then I've earned my place. I can't do that, because God tells us the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, His Son. That's the only way to get there. But listen to the things that He says, the things that we've already looked at. Starting verse 3, by this we know that we've come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So how does that play into the life of man? Remember what James said. You recognize that God is one, and you do well. But the demons recognize Him. The demons recognize God. And they shudder, because they know what they're going to receive, even though they believe, they don't live, they don't act They don't work. They don't walk in the light. That's where we've got to be. And he talks about it even again. John writes it again. He says, going on in verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked, as Jesus walked. Do you ever think about that? Man, how I would like to be like Jesus in every aspect. But if I believe in him, if I believe in God, then that's the pattern that I should be working to follow. Now, Jesus was without sin. Jesus faced every temptation such as common to man, and yet without sin. I can't claim that. I can't claim that even in my walk today. I still have my struggles at times. I have thoughts that I look back on and I say, God, please take that away from me. Spirit, please protect me from Satan. Protect me from his temptations. I want to be like him. I want to walk as he walked. Do you think about Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he faced struggles. But when he faced those struggles, what did he do? He talked to the Father. I don't always do that. Sometimes I think, oh, I can handle this. I'll get through this on my own. I'm strong. And then I look back and say, man, Father, I did it again. So, as we think about these things, this love that God has for us, as we think about the things that He's done for us in our lives, we go back to John 3:16 and we recognize God so loved us, He loved me enough that He gave His only Son so that I could live. If I believe in Him, I could live. And He didn't come into the world. Jesus didn't come into the world to judge the world, but He came to bring the light to the world. Those who don't believe, they've already judged themselves. They hate the light. They seek the darkness. I don't want to be that person. I want to walk in that light as He is in the light. Jesus became the propitiation, the payment for my sin. In Acts the second chapter, starting in verse 22, we need to understand that this promise that God made to us is not small. In Acts the second chapter, starting in verse 22, that lesson on the day of Pentecost, it says, men of Israel, listen to these words. He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to God's people. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, the man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, and you, Israel, put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Do you hear that? God, through Jesus, put an end to the agony of death. To who? To those who believe in Him. Right there. God stopped death for those that would believe, for those who would obey. You know, when I think, so as he talks to the people of Israel, men of Israel, listen to what I say. This man Jesus, who was, the plan was predetermined. It was there before time. And you took and you nailed him through the cross, even though you did it through the hands of other men. You, Israel, you, my people, nailed him to the cross. I want you to think about Isaiah in that time, speaking to his children. He said, you've become sinners, and I have to turn my face away from you. I can't even look upon this sin. But God gives that promise. In 2 Peter, he tries to help us understand the love that he has for us. And throughout his scripture, right? Throughout all of God's word, and especially into the New Testament, God wants us to understand the extent of his love. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, starting in verse 8, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord isn't slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come unto repentance. Two thousand years ago, Jesus walked on the earth. Not quite 2,000 yet, and Jesus was hung on a cross. And I look at the things that go on in the world around us. And I think, God, is it enough yet? Because if you left it up to me, I'd say we're done. But what does God say? We shouldn't count, God is not slow as some count slowness, but he's patient towards us. I don't know what God's plans are, other than what he tells me here, but I don't know when. But whenever it is, I need to be ready. I need to be walking in the light. I need to have that walk. I ought to walk as he walked, trying to be like him. So as we finish up, I want to go to 1 John, the 5th chapter. And I want to hear a couple of the things that he says. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Do you see how throughout his word God ties those things together? Faith and obedience. Faith and the walk. Faith and the works. You can't separate it. It's all part of his plan, and it has been from the beginning. And then he goes on, same chapter, in verse 11, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you hear the promise? God never wanted to be separated from His children. God never wanted to be separated from the part of His creation that He created in His own image. And yet we, mankind, who seeks our own will sometimes, we've separated ourselves from Him. So if there's a separation from God, it's not His doing. Remember, He's patient. And we shouldn't count slowness of God as some count slowness, but He wants that all should come to repentance. He's waiting. But in order to do that, we need to make that walk. We need to walk in the light as He is in the light. And then we have fellowship with Him. We need to practice the truth so that we can be in God. We need to understand that we are His craftsmanship created for the good works that He's got set aside for us. So the walk starts with belief and leads to a lifetime of example, a lifetime of showing, of demonstrating that we are His people through the way that we live, through the things that we do. Now, that starts with belief. We've got to believe in the Son of Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whosoever believes in Him should have eternal life. It's where we start, but then that's got to lead. It's got to lead to that practicing of the truth. If you're out there today and you're wondering where you're at in your walk, if you've not accepted Christ, we certainly offer that invitation to you. We make that available now. But if you have, and maybe you're struggling, maybe you're not sure where you're at, maybe you need prayers for strength, you need somebody to talk to, we want to offer you that invitation while we stand and sing.